When Nehemiah used those words, he was expressing the authority of the one to whom that day was holy. And he didn't mean the ruler in Persia. The ruler in Persia, of course, was the visible ruler. But the ruler that Nehemiah was referring to is greater than any king, any monarch on earth, and is the ruler of the heavens, the governor who overlooks all the affairs of mankind. Our next reference is found in Nehemiah chapter 10 and at verse 29. And there again we have the title, Yahweh our Adon, or He who shall be our ruler. For we must never forget that the name Yahweh is prophetic of the future. It is a word that is expressive of the future. He will be. And so the time will come when he will be really manifested as ruler in all the earth, and all mankind will be forced to acknowledge that fact. But even in the days of Nehemiah, that great patriot in Israel emphasized the fact that Yahweh is our ruler, our sovereign, our Lord, our master, the one to whom we should pay the greatest reverence. That finishes our treatment of this word in Nehemiah. We pass on now to the Psalms, where it occurs a few times. In Psalm 8 verse 1, we have the statement, O Yahweh our Adon, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Yahweh our Sovereign. This psalm is couched in the future. It is pointing forward to events that are yet to occur, even though the background of it, the circumstances of its composition were found in the past. The historical incident to which it has reference is prophetic and typical of what shall yet to be accomplished in the earth, when Yahweh's name will be excellent in all the earth. And his name will be excellent because people will acknowledge then that he indeed is sovereign and ruler and Lord of all the earth. So this is a prophetic psalm speaking of the future when the Lord Jesus Christ shall rule in all the earth and Yahweh will be seen as sovereign. For the words of Zechariah 14 and verse 9 shall then be fulfilled. Yahweh shall be king over all the earth. He will be king in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it shall be said in that day, O Yahweh our ruler, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Again in verse 9 of the same psalm we have the same title. And therefore we can mark these places in the distinguishing colour that we are using to show where the word Adon is used. We pass on to Psalm 45 and verse 11. And in Psalm 45 and verse 11, and speaking again of the Lord Jesus Christ in a prophetic psalm, we read, So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord. Here, however, the word Adon is used more in the sense of husband than of sovereign, because the psalm is speaking of the bride who is to be married to the bridegroom. And it is said to the bride, He is thy Lord. That is, He is thy husband. He is thy Lord in the sense that he should rule over thee. Because even as the bride in this psalm speaks of the bride of Christ, so the king is Christ himself. We can bear in mind the words of Peter, who, speaking to wives in the truth, points out to them the example of Sarah, that Sarah called her husband Lord. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6. So the Lord is the husband. And here in this 45th psalm, where the king is referred to as the Lord of the bride, it is expressive of the fact that he is both Lord and husband. The next reference is Psalm 97 and verse 5. The hills melted like wax at the presence of Yahweh, at the presence of the Lord, the ruler of the whole earth. This psalm is self-explanatory. Yahweh is the ruler of the whole earth, as he will be when the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed in the earth once again, when he shall put down all rule, authority and power, and shall reign on earth on the behalf of his Father. We pass over now to Psalm 110 and at verse 1. In Psalm 110 and verse 1, we have that reference that the Lord Jesus Christ quoted to the Pharisees when he asked them the question, that they could not answer. Who then is David's son? The psalm, of course, he applied to himself. Yahweh said unto my Lord, my Adon, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. In Matthew 22, verse 44, the Lord Jesus Christ asked the Pharisees, on what terms could David call his son Lord, that is, ruler or sovereign, seeing in fact that David was the father? And of course they could not answer that question. But we know the answer to it, because the Lord Jesus Christ is not merely the son of David, he's also the son of God and the manifestation of the Father. In a spiritual sense, he is the father of even David, his father. We move on to Psalm 114 and verse 7. Tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. Here the word is Adon once again, and expressive of sovereign power. So the earth is called to tremble because of the great, mighty sovereign that is manifested in its midst at that time, the future age. We pass on to Psalm 135 and verse 5. For I know that Yahweh is great, and our Lord is above all the Elohim. Here the word Lord is sovereign, Adon, sovereign. So that here Yahweh is shown to be the great sovereign, the great king, the great ruler above all the Elohim. The word Adon, therefore, is not expressive so much of God as an object of worship, but rather God as one of authority and power, whose position is supreme, who is master or ruler or sovereign, whose authority should be respected by all his servants. The psalmist is not saying, I know that the Lord is great and our Lord is above all gods, in the sense that the word Lord is expressive only of one that is worshipped, but rather I know that Yahweh is great, the one who has made a covenant with us, the creator in the heavens is great, and that as sovereign or ruler, he is over all the Elohim in the heavens or the Elohim in the earth. He is sovereign over all the angels of heaven and all those men that he has appointed to positions of authority even in the earth. The next reference in the Psalms takes us to the next psalm, and at verse 3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his mercy endureth forever. And here again we have the singular, the word in the singular number joined with a word in the plural number. This is not a difficulty, as we pointed out when we were dealing with that place in Exodus a little earlier. We pointed out then that the word Lord, Adon, here is expressive of Yahweh. But the word Adonai is expressive of those lords, the angels, to whom he has appointed authority over those who are upon the earth. In the age to come, as we know, as we have pointed out earlier in this tape, the Lord, we shall, if we are found worthy, we shall rule with the Lord Jesus Christ. In that sense, we shall express authority. We shall be lords, but there shall be one over us, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And over him there will be one supreme, even Yahweh. We go on to Psalm 145 and verse 5. 147 and verse 5. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The psalmist is speaking of God as the great sovereign, the great master, the great overruler of all creation. He is great in power. His understanding is infinite. And so his authority should be respected by his creatures. We move past the other books where the word Lord does not occur in relationship to the subject matter that we're considering, and we come to the prophecy of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 1 and at verse 24 we have the statement, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts. Here we have three interesting titles: Adon, Yahweh, Zebaoth. Adon signifying Lord or Sovereign, Yahweh signifying who shall be manifested, and Zebaoth signifying armies. So when we put the three titles together, we have this sentence: the sovereign or ruler of he who will be manifested in the armies of the age to come. So that here we have a title that is expressive of the great purpose of Almighty God to manifest himself as the commander-in-chief of a great army that is to be manifested in the age to come. We have that army expressed in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. It will be the great multitudinous body of Christ who shall go forth in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 1, we have the title once again. For behold, the Lord, Yahweh Sabaoth, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the staff and the stay and the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. Who does this? The sovereign or ruler of Judah, Yahweh Sabaoth. So here God is expressed to Judah as their sovereign, who in his mighty power will take away from them those things that were necessary for their continued existence. At this stage, I would like to make a suggestion to you that when you have completed this tape, you determine that you will read for yourself the book Phanerosis and the section in Eureka, volume 1, relating to God manifestation. You will find that Brother Thomas's handling of this subject is not only thrilling, but also most illuminative in expressing the grandeur of the theme of God manifestation. I well remember when I first read Phanerosis and came to understand the book, it seemed to me as though a great light had fallen upon me in relation to the exposition of the Word of God. And I felt that I had never understood the truth as I understood it then, when I come to understand it through the eyes of this subject of God manifestation. I suggest this because as I am rushing through this tape and drawing your attention to these various passages of Scripture, I am conscious of the fact that we are not doing justice to a theme that is so wonderful. And therefore, I feel that the next best thing that I can do is to suggest these books that have been so helpful to me in my consideration of this wonderful theme. We pass on then to our next reference, which is found in Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 16. Therefore shall the Lord of hosts, send among his fat ones leanness. Here again we have Adon, and it is here connected with Lord of hosts. But notice that you have the word Lord here in the lower case. According to the Companion Bible and the Revised Standard Version, however, the word here should be Yahweh, so that we would read Adon, Yahweh of hosts. And this is the same title as we have considered in earlier parts of Isaiah's prophecy. Again in verse 33 we have this title once again. Isaiah seems to prefer it. We pass on to the 19th chapter of Isaiah and to verse 4. And here again Isaiah uses exactly the same title. Thus saith Adon, Yahweh of hosts. Though we read in the Authorized Version the Lord of hosts, the definite article the is never before the word Yahweh. So in the Hebrew it would be, thus saith Yahweh, Adon, Yahweh of hosts, and not the Yahweh of hosts, not the Lord of hosts. The definite article is never before the word Yahweh. The context of this verse takes us into the sphere of international politics. And the title of deity here used, Yahweh of hosts, is appropriate to those circumstances. For the title Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth, is the militant title of deity. The word Sabaoth, translated hosts, really signifies armies. So wherever you read the term Yahweh of hosts, it is really Yahweh of armies. He who shall be manifested in the armies of the age to come. The whole title is expressive of mighty power, manifested through the sovereign of all the earth. We pass on to Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 22. Thus saith thy Adon, Yahweh, and thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people. So Yahweh is here said to be Israel's Adon and their God, their sovereign and their Elohim, their mighty ones. So Yahweh, as the sovereign of Israel, pleadeth the cause of his people. In this particular verse you have the three titles, Adon or ruler, Yahweh the covenant maker, and Elohim the multitude through whom he manifests his power. The word Adon, as far as the names and titles of deity is concerned, does not occur in Jeremiah and Ezekiel. So we pass right over to the prophecy of Daniel. And there in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 16, we have the words of Daniel to the angel. O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me. The word Lord is expressive of master or ruler. And so it is a title of respect that Daniel is extending to the angel. Again in verse 17 he addresses that angel as my Lord. And again he is using it as a term of respect. Also in verse 19, let my Lord speak. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 8, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And here again, Daniel is using it in the sense of respect for one in authority. We now pass over to the prophecy of Hosea. In Hosea chapter 12 and verse 14, we have the term used again. Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly. Therefore shall he leave his blood upon him, and his reproach shall his Lord return unto him. And of course, here you can sense the authority that is expressed in the term his Lord. His Lord shall return punishment unto him. He has the authority and the power so to do. And thus Hosea uses the appropriate title in this place. In Micah chapter 4, and at verse 13 we now turn. And in Micah 4 verse 13 we read of the purpose of Yahweh in the age to come. I will consecrate their gain unto Yahweh and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. This is the gain of Zion and the substance of their conquests over the nations. Now this is going to be consecrated unto Yahweh and unto the Lord of the whole earth. So here we have Yahweh and Adon. Yahweh of course relates to the creator in the heavens, but the term Adon here is expressive of the ruler of the whole earth. And as this chapter takes us into the future age, when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be manifested in power, so the verse is expressive of the power of the Lord as the ruler of the whole earth, and he rules on the behalf of the Father in the heavens. And thus we have that expressed in this particular verse. In Zechariah, the word Adon is used quite a few times, mostly applied to the angels who introduced the visions to the prophet. Thus in Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 9, we have the words, O my Lord, what are these? And Zechariah is speaking unto the angel. He recognizes the angel as one holding authority and power and addresses him in that way. In chapter 4 and verse 5, we find that again he is using the term and applying it to the angel. In verses 13 and 14 of that chapter, we have him addressing the angel and telling him that he does not understand the meaning of the vision. And the angel says in turn to him in verse 14, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. So you have the word Adon in verse 13 when Zechariah is speaking to the angel, and he is recognizing him as one of authority. And then we have the angel using it in verse 14 as expressive of the future sovereign and ruler of the whole earth, who will be the Lord Jesus Christ. The same usage is found in Zechariah chapter 6 and verses 4 to 5. In verse 4, addressing the angel, Zechariah says, what are these, my Lord? And in explanation, the angel says to Zechariah in verse 5, these are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Adon, the ruler, the sovereign of the whole earth. And that will be, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ in the age to come. And now we come to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. In chapter 3, verse 1 of Malachi, we have the prophet speaking to the people and saying, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Here the word is Adon, and it relates to the master, the ruler, the sovereign, the one of authority. This one in authority will come, and that one of course related to the Lord Jesus Christ, who came with power that the people would not hearken unto him. This completes our consideration of the word Adon. In all other places where the word Lord appears with a capital L in relation to deity, excluding those places where it is used for Yahweh, the Hebrew word is Adonai, a plural word, and one that is used similarly to the word Elohim. Now you may have perhaps found it confusing when sometimes I have said that the word Elohim is used for God in manifestation of a multitude, whether it be the angels today or the saints in the age to come. But that confusion will possibly be cleared up if you consider what the Lord Jesus Christ says in Luke chapter 20 and verse 36. For he declares that the saints in the age to come will be equal unto the angels. They will be a form of angels in the age to come. And through them, God will manifest his power as he has in past time through the angels of heaven. Also during our consideration, we have made reference to the title of Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. And we have pointed out that this relates to the militant aspect of divine power. The term itself is a prophetic one, expressive of this fact that God will be manifested in an army in the age to come. He has been manifested in armies in past ages. There is the army of heaven. The angels constitute such an army as that. In Joshua chapter 5 verses 13 to 14 we read how that Joshua saw an angel before he took the city of Jericho. The angel had a drawn sword. Joshua asked that angel whether he was for us or for our enemies, for the enemy. And the angel replied that he was captain of Yahweh's hosts, captain of Yahweh's army. He was the captain of that heavenly army that fought on the behalf of Israel. But today the Lord Jesus Christ has that authority. In the 26th chapter of Matthew and verse 53, he declared, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to the Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" The Lord Jesus Christ today commands the forces of heaven, and therefore he can be well entitled our commander, as he is in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 4. So the title Yahweh Sabaoth, or Lord of hosts, is expressive of that great, mighty manifestation of power yet to be manifested in all the earth when he shall be revealed in that great army of the future age, reference to which is to be found in the 19th chapter of Revelation, verses 11 to 15. This wonderful theme of God manifestation can be developed. There are such things as the composite names and titles of deity. You have one such in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, where Abraham speaks of God as Yahweh Yireh, he who shall be will provide. You have another example in the 26th of Isaiah verse 4, where you have the title of Yahweh Rock of Ages, he who shall be revealed as the Rock of Ages. In Judges 6 verse 24, you have the title Yahweh Shalom, he who will be peace. In Judges 11 verse 27, the title Yahweh the Judge. In Isaiah 37 and verse 16, there is the title Yahweh Sabaoth Elohim of Israel, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, or he who shall be the mighty ones of Israel. What a wonderful title that one is. He who will be is the Creator. The armies represent his manifestation in power. The mighty ones are those glorious saints of Israel yet to be revealed. And so the whole of this title is expressive of the grand purpose of God. And as we suggested when we began these tapes, whenever an Israelite, a true Hebrew, used these titles, these names and titles of deity, he did so with understanding, and there would flash before his mind not merely the name or the title, but what was expressive therein. So with all the composite titles of deity, there are beautiful expressions to be found. For example, you have one in Jeremiah 17 and verse 13, Yahweh, the fountain of living waters. He will be the fountain of living waters. And as you read that title, remember what the Lord Jesus said to the woman of Samaria. I can give you water which if you drink you will never thirst. Jesus is the fountain of living waters, and he is such because he is the manifestation of Yahweh. There is the title of Yahweh Zakenu, found in Jeremiah chapter 23 verse 6. He who will be our righteousness. And of course the Lord Jesus Christ is the manifestation of the righteousness of Almighty God. He was the means of justification that God declared that he would reveal in all the earth. You have the title Yahweh Nissi, he who will be my victory, or he who will be my banner, the title that Moses gave unto Yahweh when he fought with Amalek and destroyed them when they came against the people of Israel. A beautiful title of deity is found in the 23rd Psalm, where he describes himself as Yahweh my shepherd. When the Lord Jesus Christ stood up and told the Pharisees that he was the good shepherd, he was really expressing the fact that he was the manifestation of the Father, who is the great shepherd of Israel, as we read in Psalm 80 and verse 1. And therefore in this title found in the 23rd Psalm, Yahweh my shepherd, there is a pointing forward to the fact that Yahweh would reveal himself as the true shepherd of Israel in that good shepherd whom he would provide in due time. These different titles of deity, these composite names of deity, were given when fresh experiences were felt by the people of Israel. And as the purpose of God unfolded in the revelation that he gave unto them, so they came to understand better the great character of the Father and what it meant. And thus they were taught to reveal God in their lives, because if they were a people for the name, therefore that name should be expressed and manifested by them. Now it is not enough for us to know just where these titles occur. We need to ponder upon this subject to get the beauty of it and to understand the significance of it. If we appreciate what the word Yahweh signifies, then we are bound to manifest that name in our lives. If we are truly a people called out from the Gentiles for his name, it means that we can honor or dishonor that name that we bear. And we honor that name if we try to build into our lives the divine characteristics of God, such as are revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from that manifestation of godliness in life, all the knowledge concerning this subject is vain, and worse than vain, a condemnation on us if we do not seek to express in our lives the principles of this name. As we turn to him and consider him as the great ale of the heavens, the mighty power that is there, let us lean upon that power. When we come to consider that he is Adon, let us render him the respect and the loyalty that his authority demands of us. When we consider him as Yahweh Sabaoth, let us bear in mind that mighty force that the Lord Jesus Christ will command and which will subdue the nations in the age to come. As we consider him as Yahweh Elohim of Israel, let us bear in mind that he reveals his qualities through those mighty ones of Israel who have embraced the hope of Israel, even though they may have been one time Gentiles. And so as we consider the names and titles of deity, do not let us do so merely as an academic interest, but rather as a great doctrinal feature, a great exhortation that we are to reveal in our lives these divine attributes that were so beautifully expressed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who manifested in every way all the glorious attributes of the Father, and indeed manifested himself as the begotten Son of Almighty God. May the seed of God rest and abide in us to that extent that it brings forth in us fruit to the glory of his holy name, that we might consider them. We are quite happy to deal with any reference of scripture, whatever you might submit upon any subject, if you send it along. It is part of the service that we would like to render through this Bible tape recording service.